With us this morning is Lisa Ologist, the marketing expert from Freeman Healthcare, and also Tiffany Curtis, who's an expert in mental health as a therapist. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Really happy to have you guys here.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, mental health has impacted our nation for years now with many tragedies. And wouldn't it be nice if that never happened? I understand that prevention is a good step towards hopefully mitigating, if not eliminating, these tragedies. And especially where it's youth who are perpetuating these things, it will help us to understand, how do children communicate? Tiffany, you were talking before we came on how children are going to communicate their issues, their troubles, differently than humans. So we're really glad to have you here this morning because you are an expert as a therapist with children.
Yes, and often with young people, you often see kind of the shutdown. I don't want to talk to anybody. But you, with their peers, they're actually sharing a lot more than what us adults know. So it's very critical that parents are involved in their day-to-day activities.
Gotcha.
As far as like social media, friend groups, noticing slight changes. You really got to be involved because children are in this crazy kind of world. And I remember when I was growing up, I had a flip phone. I didn't have all this access to like social media the way that young people do. And they're at that stage where they're trying to figure out, who am I? What am I to the world? What am I to my friends? And another common factor that's kind of going on is bullying. And so when you kind of have this social media world and, you know, things are happening, parents are kind of oblivious that these things are happening. So then that's sometimes where you see those explosions and you see the anger and you see, because nobody's helping me. But at the same time, it's a very scary thing for youth to say, I need help.
It's hard for us to understand when tragedies like these shootings happen and our attention gets turned to the children, and the first question that comes to a lot of people's mind is, why? Why did this happen? And the parents can be some of the best parents in the world, I imagine, but they just don't see or recognize the signs. The children aren't communicating with them. How can parents be more vigilant to these signs?
Kevin, I think that's an excellent question, but also a complicated one.
Yeah.
I think the key thing that we need to realize here is parents can't teach something that they do not know.
Uh-huh.
So it's important for us as a community to educate the schools, to, you know, also educate the medical staff and just anyone else that might be able to help recognize those families and get them a referral to an outpatient clinic to possibly assess what's deeper, what's going on.
What are some of those signs, Tiffany? What's going to, you know, tip us off that our child is, do I use the word disturbed? Is that okay? How would you characterize it as a professional?
As a professional, you're going through some things right now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to lead to anything major.
Sure.
The first step is really just letting them know that it's okay to hurt.
Yeah.
Because we want to be very careful of not stigmatizing people. Have you ever been angry and like, you need to calm down? It's like, I'm trying to be calm. You
right.
know what I mean?
So worst thing to tell someone, calm down. No one's going to calm down when you tell them to calm down.
Be empathetic and really kind of dig down in the layers. I think of kids kind of like an onion. You got to peel some layers down. Often what people do, and I think this is the biggest mistake, is focus just purely on the behaviors. Well, you're not talking. You're bad. You're not doing well. Of course, someone's not going to open up to you, and that anger is just going to build up. But if you ask, why are you angry?
Mm-hmm.
Where have I failed? What can I do better? And I think parents sometimes struggle with that. And I don't want to make parents seem like the bad guy. I know parents are trying to figure it out and there's a lot of things that they don't know. But I think just taking that moment to just validate and say, I see you and I'm going to hold your hand and we're going to get help.
And I think it's easy for when these tragedies happen for the general public. The first thing I believe human nature is we want to blame somebody or something. Mm-hmm. And so many times I hear, well, those are bad parents. It's the parents' fault. So I hear what you're saying, Tiffany. That's not a good scapegoat.
Yes.
You can't just jump and blame the parents right away, right, Lisa?
It takes an entire community. And one of the things Ozark Center has is QPR training. And QPR is question, persuade, refer. And parents can learn it. Teachers can learn it. And it's basically starting with that question of, are you okay? Are you considering hurting yourself? And some people don't think you should ask that question, but it is very okay to say, are you thinking of hurting yourself? And then you persuade them to talk to someone who can help them and refer them to the right people,
right.
Which that's called QPR. And so Tiffany's with Will's Place, but all throughout Ozark Center, you can learn those skills. And it's important for everyone in the community to be someone who will listen to someone.
Right. And
Lisa, what is QPR again?
Question, persuade, refer.
Okay. So question, persuade, refer. And that's just one of the tools.
Just one of the tools.
That parents, teachers, adults can learn at Will's Place. And Tiffany, you as an employee of Will's Place deal all with children.
Right. Okay. I will be honest. I specifically like working with 15 and up, but I do work with some littles. I have a passion for teenagers because often I feel like they get kind of slipped through the cracks. You know, you see the little kids like, oh, cute. But like the teens are being defined and have that bad attitude. It's like, oh, I kind of don't want to deal with that. And I feel like that's why that population needs a lot of advocation, because
sure.
It's not just the behaviors. There's something deeper going on that we need to kind of discover.
Do you find it's normal with parents and teachers, especially teachers who care so much about their students, to be in a little bit of denial, or like you said, they don't want to ask those questions, those hard questions?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean,
because they might be afraid of the answer.
Not only that, but it's kind of like you don't want to accept that a young person is having thoughts about harming themselves. That's a hard reality to face.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks, not my kid.
Right.
Not my kid. You know, we go to church, we do this. They're on a sports team. And one of the questions that I actually ask my youth, which is an assessment tool called the PHQ-9, I'm going to reframe it a little bit, just in case a young person is listening, is in the past year, have you walked around like you're happy, like you have a mask on your face, but you're really sad? Because often those are the kids that get slipped through the crack. Well, they're in sports. They're in leadership positions. They can't possibly be depressed.
Right.
And that's a misconception. And that's why we got to peel back that layer and get a little bit deeper.
Don't our children learn to wear masks just like we do as adults?
It is a model behavior, so yeah. You're very accurate.
Because, well, like you said, when they get that negative feedback of maybe they're trying to communicate a bad feeling, but they're told you're not allowed to feel, they're made to feel like you're not allowed to feel that way, then they learn that mask. They learn how to hide it, don't they?
Yes. And young people have the same emotions as any other human being. Sadness, excitement, optimism, a wider range. And kind of kids, I don't know if you've ever heard of ageism. Sometimes we put kids in a box and it's like, this is what kids do. You're not paying bills. You're not facing some of the stressors of adult life. So really, you shouldn't have anything to complain about.
Oh,
however,
I've heard that.
That's not always true. There are a lot of kids in this community that may not have access to food or may be wearing like hand-me-down clothes from years and years out. There's maybe a family system where we don't talk about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may be in a system where they don't have two parents, may not have either parent. Maybe they're
right.
Living with grandparents. We also have kids who couch surf and who are homeless. So all of them, some of them take on other responsibilities. Many teens do work.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Some are responsible for paying some of their own bills. So that can be a lot of stressors on them.
And so those children are feeling those pressures, those stressors, like you said, Lisa. And what if they don't have anyone to communicate that with, or they don't know how to communicate it?
The state recently released for 2020 to 2021, some statistics about kids who have thought about suicide and attempted suicide. In our region, Jasper and Newton County is higher than the state average, even though things have improved since we focused on it, but it's still higher than the state average for those things. And one of the questions that these kids answered, they answer the survey in schools, and it said that they have a sense of hopelessness. So that's something we really would like to change as a community, is to show these kids they do have hope.
Absolutely. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about anxiety and depression amongst our youth on Four States Live. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Four States Live. We are your voice of the Four States community. We are here on Wellness Wednesday speaking about mental health amongst our youth. Very happy to have the support of Freeman Health System and Lisa Oligas here this morning from the marketing department, along with Tiffany Curtis, who is a professional therapist with Will's Place, who deals all with children.
Yes.
That's awesome. And I'm very encouraged to understand, Tiffany, that it doesn't have to be, even though Will's place is here in Southwest Missouri, it doesn't have to be somebody from Southwest Missouri who has an issue or who is seeking help, someone who might be in crisis. They can reach out to Will's Place and you will help them find the help they need.
I actually want to clarify. So we actually have a crisis department. And so we have phone counselors that are able to kind of intercept and see what route of treatment is best for that person. So just because you call the crisis line doesn't necessarily mean that you need inpatient or you need therapy. Sometimes people want to just know, like, hey, I just want to talk about some things. We also have a really great program that I love called Text About It. And Text About It is very unique because children can text. And kind of their thing. And it was really funny. I was working on the Text About It line. And a kid was like, are you a human?
Nice.
Yes, I'm a human. And they're able to kind of share what they're going through, give them some little tidbits. However, if there's some safety concerns, we're going to dive in a little bit deeper, try to get contact with parents. Another service is the mobile responder. So I've also worked in this position as well. So you actually go out into the community. So we cover Newton, Jasper, McDonald, and Barton County. However, if you are, you know, outside of those counties, we will get you like kind of warm, call you to another line. Or if we need to, for safety purposes, we can call law enforcement. We try to also coach law enforcement about mental health as well, because all situations don't need to be, you know, met, you know, kind of with like full force. We want to let them know,
yes,
hey, this is a mental health situation. These are the following symptoms, you know, kind of let that mobile responder kind of go in first and kind of just explain why these services are needed. But often we don't even have to get to that point. We're really good with de-escalation,
yes,
and really meeting people where they are.
I do recall a story about a law enforcement officer recently in the last couple of months who responded to a call, and while it would have been very easy to respond in force, like you said, Tiffany, this law enforcement officer had been well trained,
yes,
in some of these mental health signatures, these symptoms, and realized that what this person really needed was just somebody to listen and talk to them and, like you said, de-escalate or defuse the situation.
I think that's really helpful, because often, you know, I appreciate our law enforcement, but I know sometimes in the social media, you know, things are construed negatively, but I'm very thankful for our Joplin Police and all the police officers that are out there working hard. And so that's why it's so important that we want to equip them with the right tools, because they're out in the community. Right now, I work in the office, but it's a little bit different when you're out in the community. You're seeing it raw and uncut. People are hurt, crying, needing food, desperate. And often that gets confused with defiancy, attitude, these kind of things, when really it's some other different variables that are going on. Just imagine if I know when I don't go without like lunch or something, I'm getting a little snippy.
Hangry.
Just imagine if a person has been going maybe a couple weeks with not getting adequate nutrition and sleep.
Yes.
So just keeping that in mind really helps people out in the community want to reach out.
They just don't often know to where they can reach out.
Right. And that's coming to my next point. So first, I want to let people know about Text About It. So this is the number that you can reach. So it's 7207-TEXT-TXT-OZK.
So TEXT-OZK.
TEXT-OZK.
Okay.
So you sign up and you register and you get your number in there, the person, and it's anonymous, you know, I mean, but no one, you know, when you're texting, but there is a live person communicating via computer and they chat with you when it's convenient for you. And they do try to make a connection. If someone's in crisis, then they might make a call to the number that comes in. But typically it's, you know, somebody might be in a situation where somebody's yelling at them and they need, you know, counseling, but they want to be discreet. Or if they're at work, someone can text and text about it. This, you know, that number would help kids and teens out there to be part of the system.
So there's an immediate resource there for anyone who is in crisis or just needs to chat about something that's bothering them. And Tiffany, does it help that texting kind of distances a person when they reach out for help? Does it make it easier?
I look at it like this. It's a starting point. And if we can get you texting, we can get you talking, and then we can get the behavior change. Gotcha. So we want to start off small, but sometimes we kind of start off hard, and then letting someone have a little bit of control of how they want to get treatment. I'm just happy if you reach out. That's a first step. I also want to give out the number for the crisis center if somebody wants to make a call.
Mm-hmm.
So that number would be 417-347-7720.
Okay.
347-7720.
Awesome. And then that text number again, 7207.
Yes.
Text OZK.
Yes.
Awesome. TXT. Yeah. There's no E in there, but yeah.
Right on. Right on. So there are a number of resources out there for people to reach out if they just need to chat or if they are having, God forbid, those suicidal thoughts.
Yes. Yes.
And that's part of your specialty, is that right, Tiffany? And
yeah.
With those children
mm-hmm.
of all ages.
Yes.
If they're having those suicidal thoughts.
Right.
And what might be some of those signs I as a parent might be looking for or as a teacher?
One of the things that is a key indicator that might seem like, duh, is grades. If you're seeing a person that's grades or just, I mean, I'm talking about failing. Not that, hey, you may have a grade that's struggling, hey, it's a C or a D. But if you're noticing all the grades are Fs or Ds, not really participating in class at all, not even kind of like joking, you know, you have the class comments, not really paying attention. If they're not even doing that, you also might notice kind of just a lack in appetite, not really wanting to eat as much. Irritability, and that's kind of why I talked a little bit about anger and how a lot of people kind of focus on the behavioral. You just don't want to listen. What are they irritable about? Are they chronically irritable? Is it like you just say, hey, how are you doing? It's like, rah, like kind of like, what's going on here? Another thing, a real big thing, I hope everybody is listening to this because this is really important. When kids have kind of that black and white thinking, this negative, just nobody likes me, nobody's listening to me, nobody loves me, I don't look good, especially about self-esteem, because it's really important for kids to feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. Those are really big key indicators that, hey, there may be an issue.
Gotcha. So there are a number of symptoms, behaviors,
yes,
that we can be vigilant for and look out for, and then we can do the QPR, the
right.
Question persuade. What's the R?
Refer. Yes.
Question, persuade, refer.
Yes.
They just need someone to listen to them a lot.
Yeah.
Too.
Validation.
You know, it's that they're being heard.
Yeah. Isn't it easy for us as adults with a child who we put in the category of misbehaving to, like you said, Tiffany, want to address the behavior? Isn't that our initial reaction?
Yes.
Instead of having that emotional awareness to say, stop. I need to do some QPR here and get to the causal factor or factors.
And sometimes it's really helpful to have someone neutral to the situation. That's why kind of having a mental health professional, a teacher, a doctor, someone else that's a little bit more neutral, it's easier to talk about those things. Because just imagine if a parent has been dealing with some behaviors for a while. And again, parents, you're not at fault. You might be a little bit fatigued sometimes on compassion and empathy a little bit, just to be honest and clear. So someone that is neutral to the situation can continue to be empathetic and also kind of encourage the parent, like, I see that you're struggling as well.
And we talked a little bit earlier about safe places for us to bring children into where they're going to be comfortable in an environment where they can talk or cry or shout. And I'd like to talk about that on our next segment. It's Four States Live.
Miss part of the show? Want to share something you heard this morning on Four States Live? Just go to KKOWAM.com and you'll find the Four States Live show page, complete with podcasts.
Good morning and welcome back to Four States Live. I'm Kevin Seidenstricker on this Wellness Wednesday. So appropriate that we had the Freeman Vein Clinic sponsoring our last weather report, because we have the great support from the Freeman Health System here today with Lisa Oligas and also Tiffany Curtis, who is a therapist and a professional dealing with children from Will's Place, which is part of the Ozark Center, and providing all sorts of great mental health support, not just to the kiddos, but adults as well. Tiffany, on this last break, you and Lisa were telling me about these safe places and the importance of establishing a proper environment for children to be introduced into to talk about what's bothering them. I'd like to hear more about that.
Right. So at Will's Place, we don't have any like glass or like plastic like barriers. So when a client comes in, they can just directly see that Moss staff. And that's what we call the secretaries here that help with scheduling and stuff like that. It's a warm attitude. So you don't necessarily have to be a therapist to learn these skills. It doesn't matter what the staff is. They are aware of trauma-informed practices. So trauma-informed practices is really safety first. Doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, we're going to ensure that you get the help that you need. And sometimes we do also collaborate with crisis services. We want to build trust. We want to let you know that, hey, we're here for you and we're not judging you and we'll meet you where you are. And I think that's very important. Sometimes in the helping field, it's like we're all juiced up and we want to get you the services now. But if a person is dealing with depression, they have a lack of motivation. And so sometimes it does require med management interventions to kind of help them get those chemical balances in place so they can engage in therapy. Also peer support. We quite don't have this at Will's Place yet, but we do have case management. But at UBS, there are individuals there that have also overcome maybe a trauma or a hardship, and they're able to talk to them kind of one-on-one and say, hey, I've been here before. As a therapist, we kind of have professional boundaries because we don't want to seem like a friend. So the peer specialist kind of has a very special job with connecting with our clients in a way that sometimes we can't.
That's got to be really useful in getting somebody to open up and feel comfortable talking about these things.
It is. We have professionals as part of the ACTE program, which is Assertive Community Treatment for Transitional Age Youth. And peer support exists in that environment as well. And so we have, you know, staff there who can say, yeah, I was homeless once.
Yeah.
So I know what you're feeling, but, you know, and know how to relate to someone like that who's been through it all and come out on the other side. Yeah. And sometimes people need to see that. We have that in addiction therapy too. People, you know, peer support, so they can say, I've been in your shoes.
Yeah.
I can imagine that's got to help establish that trusting relationship. Yes. So the person will open up and divulge everything that's going mm-hmm. on in their heads.
Right.
And part of it is it's full circle. A number of our programs help. It's not just that therapy aspect. And then, oh yes, we leave you out there. So, and Tiffany's aware of like our PATH program. We have programs where we help folks get housing and to make sure, because those basic life supports are mm-hmm. sometimes what leads to people having anxiety and being depressed if they don't have all the things they need.
Right.
Well, I think I would be depressed if I was homeless, jobless, and I wasn't equipped with the tools to create, write, and print a proper resume or know how to look, find those opportunities for jobs and housing. And so the Ozark Center helps with that too.
And another element, whenever we provide treatment to someone, we have something called what is a treatment plan. So basically a treatment plan is like a step-by-step guide. How do I complete my goals? Often we assume people already know how to do that. Well, duh, you just fill out an application. Well, that's not everybody's background. Everybody right. doesn't have the same support. So we help them through a person-centered approach. And what that means is we're not implying what we feel like we need from you. You tell us what we need, and then we work with you to get you to that point. And I think empowerment is important. Mm-hmm. Often people are afraid to go to mental health organizations because they feel like DFS is going to get involved, or you're going to try to control their life, or you're going to kind of keep them trapped. And so my job is to say, no, you have a voice.
Good.
I'm not just going to boss you around and tell you what you need to do. I'm mm-hmm. going to start where you are.
Well, that's one of the things I've learned out of my four marriages is that, yeah, you know, as a man, you don't tell your spouse, well, you need to do this or you need to do that. You need to go whatever. It's asking those questions, those subtle questions of what do you think you need? And is that kind of how you approach the children with this?
And sometimes as a therapist, our job is to challenge our clients a little bit in their thinking, because if you keep the same thinking, you're going to get the same results. So sometimes we do have to put some things, some reframing and helping them to see why a service is important. For example, I have some clients that, you know, it's pretty tough situations. And one of the things that I tell the parents is I don't do this alone either. I utilize a nurse practitioner, a doctor. I work with the school teacher. So it is a team approach in the caseworker to help kind of get this kiddo the services they need, and as well as the parent. But if we try to go in, even as an expert and a professional, mm-hmm. if I don't go on with support, I'm going to burn out too. I'm a human being as well. We need support. So I try to model that.
And I understand there's a lot of healthcare worker burnout, especially through the pandemic, and how has that affected our children?
I think it has affected them greatly, and really through social skills. There is a difference when you're communicating on the internet and you may have this persona or this person, but in the community, and I don't want to say the real world, but in the community, you're kind of not demonstrating the same attributes as you are on the internet. So a lot of kids have a hard time just introducing themselves, making friends, expressing their needs, because it's not through that texting format.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we use text about, to kind of get them in there and then kind of tell them why it is important for that social engagement in person.
Sure. I can imagine it's easier for any person of any, or a person of any age, to share what they're feeling when they don't have to look at somebody. They can just text it.
Right.
Does that make it easier?
Right. And then also nonverbal communication versus verbal communication is a very two different things. I can communicate with you something nonverbally versus if I do verbally communicate it, it could be completely different. And then also when you're dealing with a text platform, emotions and feelings get misread.
They sure do.
You could, like, are you screaming? Are you yelling? Are you happy? So that can be pretty tough.
Oh, yeah. I know the best of friends who've gotten into arguments before because of a text or an email that was misinterpreted. And when they start talking face to face then, or over the phone, they're, oh, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. Well, yeah, you did. You didn't hear what I was saying. Yeah,
right.
That big language. What did I hear you saying?
And so this is really important, because when you're trying to communicate your needs, or if you're in trouble, it's important to know kind of what are the baby steps to let someone know, a trusted adult, that you need help. But if you don't know how to communicate that, it kind of puts a little pressure on us. We got to figure out kind of what's going on. And that's why understanding those early warning signs are important, because they may not be able to articulate their needs.
Tiffany, I'm so glad that you are part of this staff. I love your expertise in this and your knowledge base and your experience in this. You're doing great work. God bless you.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
And I really love what I do. If any of my kids are listening, remember, there is hope out there. There are people that are truly passionate about working with youth, and I'm here. So if you're in need, please check out Will's Place. It doesn't matter if you're a youth or an adult. We are here to help.
And what's the phone number they can call?
The phone number that they can call is 417-347-7580. That is for Will's Place.
Okay.
And then also for text about it. Well, excuse me, not text about it, but the crisis line is 417-347-7720.
Okay. And I'll make sure that we get this on our Facebook page when we're done
yes.
here.
Yes. And I can provide flyers and different things, because UBS, although that program is specifically for 16 and up, let me tell you some really good things about this program.
Yeah.
So usually, if an adult was having some mental health issues, they would have to go to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. Well, the purpose of UBS is to kind of slow that down, get people medications that they need, brief therapy. They also have these really, really unique chairs that if you're a little bit nervous and scared to go in there, you can kind of have the safety of kind of this hood that can kind of cover your face a little bit and wait patiently. They also have massage chairs. They also have the peer specialist, and it's kind of like a cool zen vibe, you know?
Nice.
It's just this warmth that's there. I've also worked at UBS, and sometimes I fill in from time to time, but it is a very unique program, because instead of saying, well, it looks like you have some mental health needs, you need to go inpatient. Not everybody needs to go inpatient. Some people need, you know, some brief therapy. Mm-hmm. Get connected to resources like ACT is the adult program.
Okay.
And there's also some housing programs, case management, and some other things to get them connected. But first is just getting in that door. And UBS is a great place to start. They open from 11 to 9 Monday through Friday, and on the weekends from 1 to 9.
Okay, and I'm going to get all that information from you and get that on our Facebook page as well.
Awesome.
Because there are resources out there, guys. If you're in crisis, you just need to chat. Get a hold of one of our professionals mm-hmm. there at the Freeman Health System and the Ozark Center.
And we have counselors in schools, too. There's yes. Will's Place in Carl Junction, and other schools have counselors. Kids, don't be afraid to talk to your school counselor.
And with all these great resources out there, Lisa, I can't imagine that somebody hasn't recognized Freeman Health System for all this great work.
You know, we got accredited at Ozark Center and checked off all the boxes. Most, you know, there's usually some kind of improvement needed. Ozark Center is meeting all those standards at the top level internationally.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been rated, just not achieving these accreditations, but actually recognized.
Correct. And it's one of those accreditations where usually they come back and have to keep redoing it. And we've been accredited for the longest period you can, because they've met all those standards for trauma-informed care and being accessible to the community.
That is so amazing. Lisa Oligas, Tiffany Curtis with Will's Place. Be sure and check out our Facebook page after the show, because all this information is going to be available to you. The podcast is going to be available to you as well to listen to this again. Or if you have friends you want to hear it, direct them to our Facebook page or KKOWAM.com, and that will all be there. Lisa, Tiffany, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you for your support. Kevin Seidenstricker on Four States Live. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.